unsportsmanlike conduct of the Eagles, in particular on Jalen Carter, and even worse, Carter, one of the Eagles' most impactful players, was ejected from the game on the very first, before the very first play from scrimmage.
That's how quickly the game can change.
That was Eagles Radio explaining the first big turning point of the game last night in the NFL season opener. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Jalen Carter ejected. And, you know, the irony is that he gets ejected before the defense even takes the field. And there was a stoppage in the game because of an injury to the fullback for the Eagles, who was also playing special teams.
Yeah, new guy.
And you think without that stoppage, would we have had this spitting incident, because it gave the guys a little bit more time? Like, Dak Prescott spit towards the ground, we found out like later on in the game. And then sort of Jalen Carter kind of looks at him. Dak goes like, huh, like smiles, like gives him the head nod. That leads to them going face-to-face, and Jalen Carter spits at Dak Prescott's chest right in front of the referee. Boom, you're gone. And I think it gave the Dallas Cowboys a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, they cut through the Eagles' defense immediately. It looked kind of scary for the Eagles fans after that first drive. I'll say one thing about Jalen Carter, and I say this about a lot of players in the NFL. You don't get half of Jalen Carter. People are like, he's so stupid. How can he do that to his team? You know why Jalen Carter is a killer? Because he is wildly intense. Like, he plays, again, I'm going to go back to Charles Haley and the Dallas Cowboys. I can go back to James Harrison and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can't tell certain defensive players to rein it in. Like, Jalen Carter is terrifying to other teams.
It's a little like Draymond Green. You always say you can't go half Draymond.
Yeah, but we always yell, Draymond, why don't you get smarter? Well, if Draymond was smart, would he be Draymond Green? If Jalen Carter was under control, would he be Jalen Carter?
Let's hear from Jalen Carter. Says he was not angry or out of control during the spit.
I was calm. You know, I walked off the field calmly. I was not mad. You know, that's pretty much, I couldn't really do nothing else. You know, the ref decision is the ref decision on the situation.
It's a heck of a defense. Like, no, I'm one of those calm psychopaths. Like, you never see me sweat. It's like, well, the results are the results. You got kicked out of the game. And Chris Collinsworth, I thought, put it kind of in a perfect kind of way. Said, you basically,
here's a guy,
you spit in the face of your whole team by doing that, you know?
Yeah, I don't, again, I don't know.
It,
I think,
changed
this whole
the
thing,
game, bro. Yeah,
it did change the game, but I feel like people are piling on Jalen Carter too much.
Well,
I really do.
And maybe he's easy to pile on, number one.
Think,
he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. And two, it's gross.
Yeah, of course it's nasty, but other great players have been kicked out of games for spitting. It's not the first guy who ever. People are acting like this is the worst football crime ever. It happens all the time.
What do you want them to do, though?
Well, kick him out. Yeah, eject him. Just eject him. I hope no suspension. I think no suspension, because he already missed the entire game. I feel like that was in a de facto suspension. Again, it's just like, it happens. Like, people are, here's the thing. I think people are going over the top and singling out Jalen Carter because of his past. Like, if it was Zach Bond who would spit, everyone would be like, yeah, kick him out of the game and we'll move on. For Jalen Carter, this feels like it almost is getting personal against him.
But I think it's something that's because Zach Bond, we don't think, would spit on another player, because we've seen Zach Bond a little bit. Like, we kind of know Jalen Carter's character. And the guys, by the way, that we talk about, the Bill Romanowskis, the TOs, the guys that have been caught spitting, I mean, they're Bill Romanowski and Tara Owen, so there's some character thing to that, too.
Yeah, Sean, they have
Sean Taylor.
I mean, I love Sean Taylor, but yeah, he was a wild guy on the field.
Yes.
We know.
Yeah. No, I know. But then again, we didn't all come out and say like that. Yeah, I guess we killed them in the moment. But then again, it does happen. Like, this does not mean Jalen Carter is a terrible cancer on this team at all.
Well, the proof is going to be in what does the rest of the season look like, let alone a suspension or not a suspension. We have no idea. But the Eagles handling success, the Eagles keeping it together, if you will, that was a question I had before the season even started. And then I felt like I was, you know, kind of proven right on the first snap.
I don't see it that way at all. I see it as a Dory Jackson is a massive problem. This is a personnel issue on the Eagles. It's not about locker room and all that stuff. This is like the Eagles lost too many good defensive players, and they better get to work right now.
Yeah, and the best one, though, was off the field because of his own issues, right?
Absolutely. But he'll be back, and he'll be fine.
That was the first big turning point of the game, the first big wild card that got, you know, injected into this opener. And then the offenses were just off to the races, which is funny because usually early in the season, you're expecting defense. Defense is way ahead of the offense, and that was not the case. There were no punts in the first half, much to Manny's chagrin. Guys loves punts and bunts, and we're not going to say the third
dunks.
Thing. But I think that the offenses looked awesome. I mean, really, really good. And especially for two things. One, the Dallas Cowboys, their offensive line did look very good despite having a lot of youth there. Javonte Williams running the ball looked good. You could see the Brian Schottenheimer DNA, if you will. He's never been a head coach, but as an assistant, loving to run the ball. The shocking part for the Dallas offense was CeeDee Lamb dropping the football. Four drops he's getting tagged with last night. Two crucial ones on the final drive of the game, but get to that in a minute. Drops, but running the ball and then a fumble, a crucial fumble on the offense. But overall, that offense looked really good to get going.
I mean, we didn't see the full George Pickens effect. He had three catches.
Drew a big flag.
Yeah, but he looks really good. I mean, I thought the way he was moving on the field, it's like, okay, they're gonna be able to do some stuff with this guy because they've never had a threat next to CeeDee Lamb at all. I think that they found one in Pickens. I'm optimistic coming out of this game if I'm Dallas.
And on the offensive side for the Eagles, it was the Jalen Hurts show in the first half. I mean, he and Saquon together, but Jalen just had all this green grass in front of him. No A.J. Brown, really. No Devontae Smith. You know, they were not a focal point of the offense, or good job by Dallas to take them away. And Jalen Hurts was scampering all over and just making it happen with his legs. Like, even on plays where you just thought nothing was there, all of a sudden he's getting 5 yards. And now you're in second and five, and your whole playbook is open to you.
Oh, so, I mean,
it was impressive.
I'm actually a little bit surprised. This Jalen Hurts friendship with Michael Jordan, who was in the crowd last night, I feel like Jalen Hurts is like
the
now.
Wizard?
Now being compared to Michael Jordan in the sense that not that he's the best player of the game, but like the ultimate winner. Feels like this narrative building around Jalen Hurts. He may not be on anyone's list of top five quarterbacks in the NFL, but he is climbing up the ranks of guys who are going to win you football games. And I think you saw that last night.
So the first turning point of the game was the Jalen Carter ejection, no doubt about it. He's out after spitting on Dak Prescott. The second one was the weather delay. So 4 minutes, 44 seconds left in the third quarter. All of a sudden, there's lightning in the area. Everyone's got to disperse. An hour and 4 minutes later, back on the field, and the game just completely flipped. After that, the defenses really stiffened up, including the Cowboys defense, who forced a couple three and outs on Philadelphia, a crucial one in the fourth quarter, gave the ball back to the offense. Again, drops on the final drive with CeeDee Lamb, so the Dallas Cowboys could not take advantage of basically a game that was right there on a silver platter for them, Perloff. You got to be sick in some ways if you're a Dallas fan that you weren't expecting to win this game, if you're being honest with yourself. But then you find yourself in this dogfight of a game with the ball in Dak Prescott's hand, 3 minutes left to go, you have all three timeouts, and CeeDee Lamb has two crucial drops.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, even if he did catch the ball, they weren't in the end zone yet, and the Eagles' offense might have woken up, because the Eagles were just killing time. Like, they didn't try anything. After the rain delay, the Eagles are like, we're basically going to tush-push three downs in a row. Like, they definitely turned off the offense. I mean, listen, how many points were scored after the rain delay?
Zero.
So what was the real game? Was it before the rain delay or after the rain delay? Nice. I think it was before the rain delay. I think both defenses are very vulnerable. So I think after the rain delay, Landon Dickerson, the Eagles lineman, got hurt. Well, he's had this back issue. I think the Eagles were like, we just have to get super conservative and eke out this win. And by the way, we were killing CeeDee Lamb for these drops. He was a problem for the Eagles last night.
Over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah, I mean, he was 60% of the Cowboys' offense. So I actually have faith that he's going to turn around. You saw him afterwards. Did you see the camera shot where he's walking? He's like, I got this. I know I screwed up, but I got this. And I actually, for some reason, I'm buying into CeeDee Lamb. I think he's really, really good.
Yeah, just now the tenor a little bit changes on the Cowboys' season, I think, because of how they looked last night. Because now you're wondering, all right, maybe this is a playoff team. At least maybe they're challenging for a playoff spot. And does this loss come back to haunt them? I know it's only week one, but again, you had the defending champs on the ropes. You had Jalen Carter out of the game. You're in a one-score game. You have the ball in your hands. These are veterans here. You know, Dak Prescott, highest paid quarterback, CeeDee Lamb, second highest paid receiver, and you're getting the ball to your guys and drops.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I have one funny observation? There was actually the biggest victim of the spitting incident for Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott was definitely fellow Eagles lineman Jordan Davis, who had to play twice as many snaps off. You know, he lost the weight. I've never seen a big guy. I mean, he was huffing and puffing. Like the rest of the Eagles line, like these are big, big guys. They were trying to fill in. They were so exhausted by the end of that game. So, again, I don't think what we saw last night in the second half was real. I think the Cowboys defense looked like the all-time Cowboys defense. That's not the case.
Yeah. There was also a big fumble in the second half that was right before the weather delay. And this is with Dallas driving. Miles Sanders rips off like a 50-yard run. Looks incredible. Probably should have gotten the end zone there, quite frankly. Again, easy for me to say.
Zach Bond, man, whoa, he flew down the field. I was so impressed.
I mean, you got chased down by a linebacker.
Yeah, yeah.
That really can't happen if you're running back. But again, easy for me to say from the couch. It's week one. And he was like probably pretty gassed. They end up going back to him. He fumbles the ball. There was a big Jake Ferguson got hit in the end zone, which drew a flag, kept the drive alive. But then it's all for nothing because Miles Sanders fumbled on the next play, and Quinyon Mitchell picks up the football, and he could have been gone for a scoop, like not a scoop and score, but like a fumble six, basically.
Yep.
And of all people, Dak Prescott comes flying in into your TV screen and grabs Mitchell by the legs and saved a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a great, great catch by the NBC. Why would that not be a scoop and score?
I guess it's a scoop and score. I guess he kind of scooped it up.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Is there a difference between a scoop and score and a fumble six?
When I think of a scoop and score, I think of a guy who doesn't even break stride.
Yeah, okay.
He's like,
okay.
He sees the ball, he scoops it, and he keeps going. This was more just like picking the ball up off the ground.
Yeah. I actually, the second Quinyon Mitchell picked that ball up, I'm like, oh, this is a touchdown. I don't know what happened to him. That was a great play. Dak Prescott looked pretty good, by the way. Dak looked healthy. He was, you know, if CeeDee Lamb caught those balls, his numbers would have been impressive. So, again, I feel good about the offense. Worried about the defense.
You know what I'm a little surprised by, guys? I'm surprised we didn't get a Dak Prescott best shape of his life story earlier in camp. Because they made a huge deal about it on the broadcast. They literally were talking about him losing weight. Then they cut to a video of him in the locker room with no shirt on. Like, here's our proof. And not exactly Dad Bod Mahomes in that video.
Looking like me.
I'm surprised that he did that. That wasn't a bigger story.
Yeah, I had heard it.
Well, Micah Parsons kind of take all the oxygen from Cowboys camp. Fair. Everything was about Micah.
Speaking of Micah, when are we placing those orders?
Oh, yeah. Let's place the orders. Thank you, Manny. I lost a bet in spectacular fashion last night. One of the earlier bets I've ever lost.
Melissa Starkham was just broke the number just in the first, before the game kicked off.
Honestly, I was like, what happened to women helping women? I mean, no, she had no clue that I was on the hook for breakfast this morning because we set the line at how many times they would mention Micah Parsons at 7.5, and I took the under like a dope.
I think we went 8.5.
Or 8.5, excuse me.
Was the final number.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because you set the line. You're like, this is how it went down. You said they're going to talk about Micah Parsons a lot. And I said, well, what would you set the number at? You're like 8.5. And then why did you take the under?
I don't know. I thought maybe they would downplay it for some reason. I'm not sure. I'm an idiot. And I forgot about the sideline reporter. I did. Because we said it was the clock would start once Collinsworth and Tirico take over the broadcast.
I feel great.
Totally forgot about Melissa Stark. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is going to crush me. And she did. She mentioned Micah Parsons, I believe, I wrote it down, 3 times in her update.
Well,
her opening one, right?
Yeah.
Thank God there were so many. Because if we had had to argue about does the hour and 5 minute rain delay count, that would have been ugly.
So
they talked about him a lot there, too.
When Jalen Carter got ejected, I was like, there's a chance. Because now that Micah's back burner and Jalen Carter's now the story.
Too early.
Also, Micah Parsons, Perloff, you said it. It's your take, and I think you're right. If Micah Parsons is on the field,
oh yeah,
they win that game last night. It was so obvious that they did missing a very crucial piece. We're giving the Cowboys all this credit this morning, but they really missed a pass rush. Jalen Hurts was all over the field.
No, you tweeted it, and I totally agreed. It's like Jalen Hurts looks like the MVP when there's no pass rush. And the first half, there was no pass rush at all. They got to him in the second half. Again, I'm going to talk about the rain delay, the injury, Landon Dickerson. But when it counted, Jalen Hurts was just sitting back there totally comfortable, and that does not happen if Micah Parsons is playing.
So, you know, EJ, get your fresh squeezed orange juice. I'm buying this morning.
Can I get iced coffee?
Get whatever you want.
Hell yeah. EJ, I want iced coffee.
That's a team player right there. That's a real QB.
Whatever you guys want. Dozen bagels.
Thank you, Miss Stark.
Yes. You should send her a fan letter because she earned you breakfast this morning. Rich is in California. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. I don't know that you can ascertain whether Dallas is good or the Eagles have issues on game one. I think maybe you got to at least wait till maybe game three to figure it out. I'm quite sure that it looked a little ragged, at least from what I did see.
Yeah, but Rich, that's no fun. You know, come Rich. On. We had an all-time fun, weird game last night. Yeah. Not fun for Dak Prescott. He got spit on. But the rest of us, it was very interesting. The weather delay was not fun either, but everyone was safe. So.
Well, no, but by the way, Rich is totally accurate. Like, we should wait, but this is America. There's no... by the way, the Cowboys play the Giants next week. That would, and Manny, you're wearing your Giants. That should be a get-right game because the Cowboys own the Giants.
Hey, now.
In early season games. So
I'm not going to disagree, but hey, now.
I do think that you could take away a lot of optimism for Dallas. Even if Rich is saying, hold on, I refuse.
Johnny's in Atlanta. Johnny, did the Cowboys, are they good?
I don't know if they're good, but I gotta give it a shot of my for having that team ready for all the controversy with Michael Parsons, and they was ready to play. With all that stuff going on with Jerry Jones and everything else, they was ready to play. And you got to give it to him for that. That's a great coaching job.
You know,
that's
Johnny,
great coaching right there.
I wasn't sure what to expect from Schottenheimer. Thank you for the phone call. And, well, first of all, I do want to give him credit. I think the biggest thing is that how Dallas executed their field goal, how they got to the field goal attempt right before the half. I'm just not used to Dallas executing in that way, quite frankly. Maybe this goes back to a little Tony Romo stuff from a long time ago. But even with Mike McCarthy and with Dak Prescott, we've just seen some big time, just boneheaded moves in big moments. And last night, that was executed like a well-oiled machine for week one. So I want to give Schottenheimer credit there. How much credit can you give him, though, when Jalen Carter is out of the game? Like, clearly, you can run the ball now. You're going to be so much more effective. Like, your offense is just going to be, it's such an advantage after that ejection.
Yeah, I mean, back to Rich's point, let's see in week two. I think they're going to be able to run. They have studs up front on the line. Javonte Williams has his burst back. We'll see how long that lasts. And yeah, I just think the pieces are in place on offense. What the test is, can they stop the run? And it's so funny, they traded for Kenny Clark. We didn't even see Kenny Clark until after the rain delay.
I was about to ask, was he active for the game?
Well, he came back after the break, which was still a little ridiculous. He looked good. So, you know, Jerry Jones talking about, we got Kenny Clark to stop the run. That's the real test for the Cowboys.
888-710-4ISN.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy.
888-710-4476. That's your number to call. Get involved with the show. Asking a question, are the Dallas Cowboys good? We have the poll question up for you on X at Maggie and Pearl. Right now, 65% of you saying no. No, they are not good. Another question.
Interesting.
What was the more game-changing moment of last night's Cowboys-Eagles game? Was it Jalen Carter's ejection, or was it the weather delay? Weather delay is...
close, though, right?
No, not close. 62% say weather delay.
It's close-ish.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so let us know what you think. 888-710-4ISN. We have to get to the San Francisco 49ers because even if you were expecting that maybe Christian McCaffrey would not last a whole season, Pearl, I think we all believed he'd be healthy week one. Not the case. What does it mean for their season? Get to that next, M&P.
Have a good summer.
Welcome back, Maggie and Pearl Off Show. We get back to the Philadelphia Eagles-Dallas Cowboys game in just a moment. Eagles prevail 24-20, but a lot happened in this game. Jalen Carter gets ejected for spitting on Dak Prescott. And also there was an hour weather delay, which really impacted the game, obviously, because it turned from an offensive battle into a defensive battle, like at the stop of a dime. But quickly, something I saw yesterday that I was so excited about, and I'm curious because we've got younger people who work on our show, and I'm hoping they're familiar with this person, but I don't know if they are. Did you guys see that John Candy is getting a documentary?
Oh, yeah.
This warmed my heart in a way. Maybe it's how old I am, whatever. John Candy was such a huge star for everybody, but in a lot of children's movies and when I was a kid. And I found it funny that after the Jalen Carter spit incident last night.
Wait, what's the connection?
Yeah, stay with me. The Seinfeld episode of the second spitter where, what is it, Roger McDowell spits on Kramer?
No, Keith Hernandez.
Keith Hernandez. No, but it was actually Roger McDowell.
Right. It turned out to be.
Yeah, they thought Keith Hernandez spit on them in 1986 or whatever, Kramer and Newman. It turns out it was Roger McDowell who spit on them. He was the second spitter. It's obviously a reference to the movie JFK. JFK.
Oh, the Zapruder film, yeah.
The Zapruder film, but the movie JFK, where they're going through the whole courtroom scene, and it's Kevin Costner, and he's talking about...
It's shot like JFK.
And it's shot just like JFK. John Candy is actually in the movie JFK. Oh, yeah. It's one of the rare serious roles that he took.
Right. Who did he play? I can't even remember.
This, New Orleans kind of jazzy sort of dude, smokes a lot of cigarettes, wearing sunglasses the whole time. I forgot the name, but... EJ and Manny, are you familiar with the work of John Candy?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, EJ's seen no movies.
No, but I mean, he knows superstars.
Was he the guy from Cool Runnings?
Yes.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, of course, John Candy, yeah. A large fella, of course. Yeah. Passed away way too early.
What are the movies that you would have thought they might have seen him in? Because I actually watched
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. That was a big movie.
That was a hell of a movie.
Yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which still gets a lot of burn during Thanksgiving because it's an all-time holiday movie.
It's on TNT all the time.
Yeah, but I don't know if people watch TV anymore. You guys don't have cable.
That's the difference between you youngsters.
He's
cable,
also in Home
Alone. You force-fed movies your whole life.
Oh, you know I saw this
He's
guy?
In Home Alone also, yes.
He looked familiar. It wasn't Home Alone. I saw him and he was in Rookie of the Year. He's the announcer.
Mm, yeah.
That's how I know him.
Huh. Okay.
What's the other? A couple other big movies.
Uncle Buck. Is obviously one of
Uncle
his
Buck was a big star. He played, where was the movie? Home Alone, right? That's the one where I thought you would have seen it.
John Candy was a product of SNL?
No, he was from SCTV, the Canadian SNL.
Oh, he's right, of course. He was Canadian.
Spaceballs.
Yeah, he's a Mog. Half man, half dog. He's his own best friend.
But Home Alone during the holiday season, you've never seen that movie?
I've seen it, but I've not seen Home Alone. I was like seven.
He's a bit player in it. Remember,
but it's such a memorable role of you never heard of our polka. He's the polka leader of a band that they end up giving Kevin Callister's mom a ride.
I mean, he died. I saw in the trailer 43.
Shot. I didn't realize he was that young.
Yeah,
he passed away in Mexico. Yeah.
Oh, is that true?
I think so.
I mean, I'm on his IMDb page right now. His last movie, his last credit was 95.
I know.
What movie was that?
Canadian Bacon.
That's 35. That's 30 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Manny.
Oh, no problem.
I mean, he's got such a run here, though. Brewster's Millions he was in. Summer Rental, which I like because I love bad movies. Armed and Dangerous, Little Shop of Horrors, into Spaceballs, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, into The Great Outdoors, which is a hilarious movie with Dan Aykroyd.
I've heard of him.
It's a solid IMDb.
I get him and Mr. Belushi mixed up.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah, different.
I mean, John Belushi, they're both super icons, like in comedy.
John Candy was actually, I think he had a different gear, though. Belushi was only physical comedy, almost like Chris Farley. John Candy could actually deliver a heart-wrenching scene, and he could always land the plane... with the sentimental
the train
part.
And the automobile as well.
Yeah, but honestly, John Belushi, I kind of disagree with that. You ever watch John Belushi? Like, that guy could hit you in the heart too. He just died way too young. There are certain scenes where John Belushi, they're very similar in the sense that they have weight problems.
Yeah.
They might have, I don't know, John Belushi obviously drugs. I kind of disagree. I watched a John Belushi documentary recently. Like, he had a deep impact on people. Like, on camera, he could evoke emotion, too. I know you're thinking of him in Animal House.
But it's different, Animal House, Blues Brothers. Like, there's not that scene at the end Candy delivers at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where you will cry.
Yeah, Belushi could have done that, but he died too soon. Mm. I think he could have.
He died
at 33.
I get those three mixed up. Chris Farley is the other one that I get those three mixed up with.
Yeah. Another
and Farley
guy.
Was a legend also, but Farley also was, he had the one note. It was the physical comedy. He was not doing the sentimental stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could have. I think all those guys are super, you just connect with them.
So anyway, I'm happy that John Candy's getting a documentary. Bogues, why are you shaking your head?
I just, Manny's last sentence.
What?
That he... Chris Farley, John Candy.
Listen, I'm sorry that I generalized these larger men from the 90s.
It's fine. I actually thought of you last night. Were you aware of Boys to Men when they were singing pregame last night?
I wasn't sure. I grew up in a certain type of environment where Boys to Men was rather prominent.
I don't know.
Glad to see they're still prominent. I once got a kiss on the cheek from one of the guys from Boyz II Men.
Oh, my God.
Everyone a little jealous.
Which cheek?
Yes. Boyz II Men. I had to explain who Boyz II Men were to my daughter last night, and my daughter's like, why are they like, they're going overboard with the, like, the singing thing. I was like, it's Boyz II Men. Sorry, John, have you ever seen the skit on Saturday Night Live where John Belushi visits the graveyard?
Like,
no, it's totally, it's the weirdest sketch. It's 2 minutes. It's completely serious, and it makes everybody cry.
Oh, yeah,
John Belushi could have done John Candy. Like, those both, I think there's an ability, and maybe it's bigger guys, to connect. Like, that humor is like, there's so much pain right below it.
That's
not
true.
To get so deep, but John Candy, I got a little emotional watching the trailer, dude.
Me too.
Yeah.
I did. And I'm going to be crying like a baby during this thing.
Oh, my God. There's a scene, by the way, not to dwell on this, where Steve Martin, in his documentary that came out, which was awesome.
He's still alive.
Amazing, on Apple TV. He pulls out the script for Planes, Trains, and Automobile and reads the page where John Candy gives the final speech and breaks down crying in front of the camera.
Yeah, that's an amazing movie with one of the all-time great scenes and lines when they get on the highway going the wrong direction and someone's trying to tell them, the car next to them is trying to tell them, you're going the wrong way. And Steve Martin looks at John Candy and goes, how do they know where we're going? Amazing.
This is for the whole Magilla.
Maggie, your ability to like 80s comedies with 42s on Rotten Tomatoes is amazing.
When I called The Great Outdoors a great movie.
Yeah.
And great, Summer Rental.
I saw that on cable the other day. Great Outdoors. I swear to God, Dan Aykroyd. I was like, this is just an unpleasant watch.
For the whole
If only there was an Uncle Buck 2, that would have been perfect for Maggie.
Oh, man, I would have loved that. All right, let's get to some... let's get to Bogus' headlines. We'll get back to what our main topic is today, last night's Cowboys-Eagles game. Question, are the Cowboys good? Bogus, I hand it to you.
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
For the whole enchilada!
It's a good thing the Cowboys traded Michael Parsons to fix their run D.
Shotgun formation, the snap, the handoff to Barkley, over the guard, breaks the tackle, 10, outside, the 5, touchdown, Philadelphia! Saquon Barkley, 10-yard touchdown run. And the Eagles have taken the lead with under a minute to play in the first half. Their first lead tonight. I'm wet. I'm dirty.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. The Eagles did not give that lead back, winning on opening night 24-20 over those Cowboys. Barkley ran for 60 yards in that TD, 62 yards and 2 scores from the legs of Jalen Hurts. Nick Sirianni now on his quarterback.
I know that it will say that we threw for 152 yards. What's going on? Why didn't we throw? But Jalen played really efficient and really good, and from what I saw, and made plays both with his legs, with his mind, and with his arm.
This game included a 60.
In that order?
Yes.
Yeah. Why does that sound so weird?
It's Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Bingo.
This game included a 64-minute weather delay that began late third quarter. Nobody scored in the fourth, with Dallas failing on fourth down on its last possession on a second crucial drop from C.D. Lamb. Now, long before any of that happened, that's when Eagles D-tackle Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott during a brief exchange between the opening kickoff and the first snap of the game. Carter was ejected. The Eagles say any discipline will be handled in-house.
2-year suspension.
Back to Micah Parsons quickly. His back continues to survive practicing in Green Bay, but still no official decision yet on him playing this weekend. Parsons says he is open to a shot to get him on the field. The final call on suiting up belongs to the medical staff and the coaches. You would think that Trent Grisham hitting 30 homers would be enough
30.
For the Yankees, but they're out there last night in Houston asking for bat checks. Aaron Boone
Damn
had
right.
the umps confiscate Taylor Trammell's bat after a hit in the ninth.
You know, you're not allowed to do anything to your bat, so I'm not saying he was. We noticed it, and the league thought it maybe was illegal too, so I wanted to at least ask about it.
Can you say you're not accusing him of something when you accuse him of something?
No, he can say that I'm not accusing him. I'm accusing him of something. The dude had his bat sanded at the label. What are we talking about here, guys?
Well, also, all bets sanded. Are off when it's Yankees Houston. They have a lot of history
Cheating
together.
Astros back at it.
Well, but in just a lot of stuff has gone on, so I'm okay with managers getting petty about this, or not even petty, like for going all out. But I'll tell you what, have you guys seen Aaron Boone lately? So we saw him at the North Carolina game because his son coaches for North Carolina.
The great thing is it's right in front of us.
He's like a handsome guy, right? Aaron Boone, good-looking dude?
Sure. Sure, yeah.
He was on TV for a long time.
I got to tell you, I had no idea where you were going before. This one, I don't have the slightest clue.
I know where she's going.
Oh, he looks like he's on his last limbs. Like,
oh,
what's
he looks
going
bad.
On? I saw him.
Second president term, Aaron Boone is what you're saying?
Oh, my gosh. It's like Obama, right? Totally gray now. Mm. He was on a John Boy, and I don't usually do this because what do I care what people look like? But it's not that he just looks so tired. He looks so worn out.
Well, when Anthony Volpe is your shortstop, I too would lose sleep.
I don't know, man.
You know, it's all right there in front of us. The great thing is, it's right in front of us. We have it right in front of us. It's right in front of us.
But it is right in front of us.
But, back to you,
you know, it's all right there in front of us.
This is like Manny's anti-porn. He made this himself. He listens to it just to get angry.
It's all right there in front of us.
Wow.
Not sure if you guys know, but it's all right in front of the Yankees.
Yeah, so what was in front of them last night, as Manny mentioned, there was a big scuff mark on the barrel of this bat. That's what they were worried about. And here is the defense of one Taylor Trammell.
They thought my bat was shaved down too much, and to be honest, I have no idea how you shave down a bat. Like, I don't know what it is.
I also don't know why you would shave down your bat, why you would compromise the integrity of the barrel. This one I don't get. I know of other things to do to bats that work. This one I'm not sure what the after effect would be.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what the effects would be of sanding down a bat.
Yeah, but the umps...
Pine tar, yeah, sure, why right? not, yeah. That's what I thought initially, but then I saw the barrel of the bat, and it was white, with the rest of the bat black.
Umps didn't do anything in the moment. They kept the bat, though. It's getting checked now by MLB. The Yanks won the game 8-4.
That's all that matters.
And American Amanda Anisimova with a 3-set win over Naomi Osaka to reach the U.S. Open final. That's tomorrow. She'll face top-seeded Aryna Sabalenka in that one. Guys, back to you.
Bogues, thank you. I'm glad Andy is calling from Pennsylvania because I did make a crucial error talking about a great moment in the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We found out yesterday John Candy getting a documentary, which I'm looking forward to. Andy, what did I screw up? It's a big one.
So I'm calling from Reading, home to Elaine's grandparents on Seinfeld. I'm your fact checker today.
Okay.
And it's John Candy that says, how do they know which way we're going? And
yeah.
Martin reacts to it.
You're right. I don't know why I thought that Steve Martin delivered that line, but it was John Candy. Obviously, yeah. It was John Candy who delivered the line where they're on the highway going in the wrong direction. Yeah. A car next to them pulls up and says, trying to tell them, you're going the wrong way. Yeah. And John Candy goes, how do they know where we're going?
Andy, can I ask a question? Do you guys claim Taylor Swift as a Reading alum? Or she's from near there, right?
Right. She grew up in the borough that I am in, Wyomissing, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
But more broadly, she's considered a Reading alum.
That's cool, dude. That like, do you brag all the time when you're out on the road and say, you know, I knew Taylor Swift back in the day?
Actually, not at all.
And I
think that's where Ross Tucker's from. You think Ross has more?
Yeah, do you know Ross Tucker from Wyomissing?
Absolutely, he played at Wyomissing High School.
Told
correct.
You.
Great football program.
What about Lonnie Walker IV?
Is he from Wyomissing?
He's from Reading.
He's from Reading. I've seen Lonnie play, and it isn't Lydell Mitchell. I think Lydell Mitchell is also, or some famous running back from the Colts is from Reading High School as well.
Man, Andy, look at you guys, Football Factory over there. Appreciate the call. Thank
Lonnie
you
Walker
for the correction.
Basketball.
What's that?
Lonnie Walker plays basketball.
Yeah, Lonnie Walker does.
But you did get Lydell
those...
Mitchell and Ross
oh,
Tucker.
Okay,
yeah,
Mitchell.
Ross Tucker. We're talking about the running back from the Colts.
Sourdough's taken over my life in a huge way.
not having starting conversations. Don't Taylor's family? They own a Christmas tree farm, right?
Oh, they do.
True Hallmark movie fashion.
I think so,
but we're like, yeah, we're like, hey, so do you brag about that? Like, not at all.
Yeah.
Like, what's a, hey, you know, we got Swifties on the line here. We can't make fun of Taylor. I would brag about that. I brag about Kobe Bryant going to my high school more than anything in my life. It's my sole claim to fame.
Yeah, which
but
is
are
funny.
Are you a different animal?
Because.
And the same beast?
You didn't do anything for that. Like, you could actually claim things you've achieved. This is just, you happen to be born in the same place where Kobe eventually landed.
You're welcome.
From Lower Merion High School.
That's the big deal.
I mean, it gets an emotional reaction. And, like, you'll see people wearing Lower Merion jerseys in, like, Belgium. You know,
I have a Lower Marion jersey.
Yeah, you have a Lower Marion jersey.
You hate everything about Philadelphia.
I can't stand the armpit of America.
We were the most average high school program of all time, and then this dude came. And Maggie, but you could brag too. Did you go? You have Bones Jones? No,
no, rival high school.
That's a shame.
Joe Torrey went to my high school.
That's
pretty
a good.
Good
one.
And Vince Lombardi,
also great.
You got anybody this century?
Henry
Stewart.
You guys familiar with Henry Heimlich? New Rochelle High School grad. That's right. Heimlich maneuver guy.
Of the maneuver?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Of the maneuver?
Yeah. It's a different Henry Heimlich.
Yeah. No, he's actually the one who landed on the moon.
Also, Julie Chen, like Big Brother. Also, St. Francis Prep grad.
All right.
That's a good one. Bogues, what do you got?
I got a couple. Colin Jost, SNL, went to my high school.
Oh,
Pablo Torre went really to my high school.
I wish I had Colin Jost's life.
Yeah. Pablo Torre, Boog Shambi from the TV, Voice of the Cubs, ESPN. He's went to my high school.
He did Henry Heimlich.
Yeah, I know.
I also have Ray Rice, but who cares about that? I got Henry Heimlich, baby.
Yeah, I'd go with a Heimlich. I've got the creator of The Twilight Zone. Rod Serling, which
That's
if you've sick. Ever been to where I
Makes
grew
sense.
Up. He had a lot of material. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, Bogues, thank you very much. Coming up, we've got, two quarterbacks left today in our quarterback carousel. Up next, we are answering one big question about the quarterback, and this one is a bandwagon that is now so full, I don't know if there's room for even Andrew Perloff. That's next.
Oh, come on.
It's great for the NFL that you have great quarterback play.
Finding the right quarterback can change your franchise forever.
Can you throw it like a quarterback third and a lot?
32 teams, each with just one signal caller.
It's my quarterback.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, EJ, we're in the AFC West, which is going to be a dogfight. Who are we talking about today?
We are talking about one Bo Nix as we have a doubleheader here on the QB carousel in the AFC West. So, will Bo Nix ever lead the Broncos to a Super Bowl in his career?
Ooh, we're going big picture here. Yes. I think Bo Nix is, I'm not sure what the right analogy is. I don't think he's elite. I don't think he's top five. But I think Sean Payton is going to make something out of this guy. And it's going to be a system situation. Listen, he's in his second year. He probably has 8 years ahead of him. And I don't think Peyton looks like he's flagging. I think they're going to have a long run. And I think they're going to be an elite team at some point. Maybe not this year. I think there are some people who think it might be this year. I think it's a little too soon.
So I have them as a playoff team this year. I did not last year. I don't know if anyone really saw them coming. But now the defense is even better, I believe.
Well, I think it was pretty elite last year.
I know our fans in Oregon, I we love all your quarterbacks, guys, but I'm not sure who the quarterback is who's going to have a step back or a sideways step in year two. But from all the positivity we saw from all those first-round quarterbacks, right, six first-round quarterbacks last year, there is going to be a guy who's going to take a step sideways or backwards.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
I know.
C.J. Stroud, yeah?
Like C.J. Stroud, though, there was a problem with his offensive line. We understand that. They still made it to the playoffs, though, so it wasn't like an outright disaster and won a game in the playoffs and beat the Chargers and then obviously lost to the Baltimore Ravens. But you know, you're thinking about Caleb Williams, we think is going to look better, right? A little more on schedule. I think Drake May is going to look better. I think that Jaden Daniels, I think, you know, I'm fading Washington a little bit for a lot of reasons, not really Jaden Daniels.
Right, you can fade them without thinking Jaden Daniels will take a setback.
Michael Penix, who we saw a little bit of. J.J. McCarthy, we haven't seen anything of. I mean, Bo Nix may fit the bill as the guy who takes a bit of a step backwards, but I think Denver is good enough that their team is still going to be super competitive.
So their defense was incredibly effective last year. And usually a defense like that takes a step back. But they face especially the first half of the season, they have every bad quarterback is on their schedule. So that defense is going to kill people, which means Bo Nix is going to be super conservative. That's why Sean Payton is going to be able to contain him and make him not look bad. Like, and also, too, they're going to run the ball. Like, they're not going to need to score a lot of points to win, which is going to really help Bo Nix.
So the question today for this quarterback carousel is, will Bo Nix ever lead the Broncos to a Super Bowl? So how long is Patrick Mahomes playing in this scenario? Because, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, many years ago, I liken him to Michael Jordan, you know, keeping other guys who were, could have been or should have been able to win championships from winning them.
Yep.
He was like a gatekeeper. I thought Mahomes was like that. A lot of people now have had that take. I feel like I was early on it. And now Bo Nix, it's in his own division. Like, I don't see Patrick Mahomes is not leaving someday to go play in Seattle. Like, you're going to he's going to be a factor. And I know Mahomes is turning, what, 30 this year? But he can play for another 10 years. That's also Bo Nix's prime. Remember, he's a little bit older coming out of college because he played 6 years in both Auburn and Oregon.
Well, also, I think you get down, this debate is about, do you have to be a top five quarterback to win a Super Bowl? And you know how I think. I think 15 quarterbacks in the NFL are good enough to win a Super Bowl. Who's your Super Bowl pick this year?
Mine is San Francisco.
And who's their quarterback?
Brock Purdy.
Who reminds you of Brock Purdy?
A lot of Bo Nix.
So I think it's the way I view systems. I mean, a lot is about the coach. I thought Bo Nix was awesome in the second half. Not awesome, but I had low expectations of him coming in, and I thought he looked really good.
No, he did.
Toward the end. Again, conservative, but their defense is going to kill people. My defensive player of the year pick, Nick Benito, just got paid yesterday.
Saw that.
I think that their defense is going to destroy opponents, and Bo Nix will be in a great spot. I do not expect to step back at all here.
Everybody knows the quarterback.
888-710-4ISN. As I mentioned before we went to break, though, that Broncos bandwagon is as full as I've ever seen it in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's because a lot of people like Sean Payton. I think that's
he's my coach of the year pick.
Yeah, he's very friendly with a lot of media members who give him a lot of love. Vance Joseph, a lot of people like him, their defensive coordinator. I think that there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Again, for some reason, their schedule was so easy last year. This one's not any harder. I feel like the AFC West might put in multiple teams again into the playoffs.
Broncos host the Titans in week one. It's now the biggest spread of the weekend, 8.5.
Yep. So. The Eagles matched that, but then it came down before the game.
Let's go to Mark. He's in Rochester. We were talking about John Candy. The late John Candy's getting a documentary, which we're excited about. Mark, you wanted to talk about his tie into sports, famously.
Yeah, hey, good morning. First of all, go Eagles. Secondly, I wonder if you guys had mentioned about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where Joe Montana was trying to calm down a nervous teenager, and he pointed into the stands, hey, isn't that John Candy? And they all got a big laugh about it, and it was a little pretty famous moment for John Candy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I remember that. Now, which Super Bowl was this? Was this 23?
It was 23 against the Bengals.
Against the Bengals. Thank you for bringing that up, because that is why we don't bring that story up. Because we work less than 100 feet from Boomer Esiason. So, no, that game never existed. We don't bring that up.
What the hell was that all about?
We don't even acknowledge that game. That never happened, that game.
Oh, come on.
I'm not bringing it up to Boomer.